Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, I don't know if other conservatives have noticed in the past couple of days, there's been a little bit of disagreement in the House Republican Conference over what to do with the Boehner plan, so much to the point that he had to delay the vote at least a day until today. He used a three-letter word, which is usually, in the group of the four-letter words, to try and whip the caucus, and it looks like the strong arm tactics are working pretty well because the vote is still on for today. And my assumption is that it wouldn't still be on if he didn't think there was at least a reasonable chance that this would get through. So it shows that I think that John Boehner does have control to some extent of the conference. I'm still not personally sold on the plan because if in fact the Democrats say it is dead on arrival and they mean that, I'm not sure why you don't just stick with the first plan because everybody seems to like that one. But kudos to John Boehner for at least being able to steer some of the horses at a time when there seems to be a lot of different ideas out there about whether this is a good idea or not.
Yeah, 48 hours ago, this was really not clear. I even heard some people asking whether Boehner was going to remain speaker when all was said and done. The idea that he was proving ineffective in being able to negotiate on behalf of House Republicans because clearly there was some sort of separation between him and the freshman. We don't know what's going to happen as of this recording. Having said that, I think your logic is sound. And when he said the saltier version of get your rear in gear, I'm not sure what in particular made people jump on board. I think a lot of it was, look, this is the best option we're going to get right now. Going any further runs a real risk of default. And I think we may be underestimating the fact that presuming House Republicans pass this, they will have passed two ideas. I know Harry Reid is saying that this is doomed, that every House Senate Democrat is not going to vote for it. We'll end up in a situation in which House Republicans will have passed two proposals to raise the debt ceiling with spending cuts, and neither one of them will have gotten through the Senate. And the claim from the Democrats will be, oh, it's all the fault of the Republicans. Now, wait a second. What's the Senate done for all this? As I said earlier today, if Senate Democrats really don't like the Boehner plan, fine. They can pass the Obama plan as soon as it gets written down, which, may never be. And apparently it's all written in the air with Obama's finger. So the other thing that's kind of been frustrating about this, you mentioned there's some disagreements. No punches thrown in the House Republican caucus yet.
That we know of.
It's kind of interesting. One of the motivating things that Boehner and the House leadership did was they showed a scene from the Ben Affleck movie The Town, in which, Ben Affleck is playing a lowlife thief with kind of a heart of gold. He finds out that some guys have been roughing up the girl he's interested in, so he goes to his best friend, who is a bit of a psycho, and he goes to him and says, look, I need your help. I can't tell you what we're going to do. When it's done, you can't ever ask me about it. And we're going to go hurt people. And his friend just looks him in the eye and says, are we taking your car or mine? Now, obviously, the point of that scene is it's a very vivid scene. It's about loyalty. It's about brotherhood. It's about trust. It's a little bit disturbing. In fact, it's certainly morally unnerving that somebody asks somebody, a friend to hurt somebody, and he has no problem with it. The guys they're going after are no doubt bad folks, but I think the subsequent scene shows things kind of getting out of hand. I think the aim of this was Boehner and the leadership saying, look, I need you to trust me. And there are a lot of Republicans in the House caucus who probably aren't 100% comfortable with that. But basically, this is Boehner looking him in the eye and saying, I need you guys right now. And it sounds like a certain number of House Republicans were swayed by this. We will see how this shakes out, but I think Boehner is proving to be a stronger speaker than people thought a few days ago. Considering how muddy things are, that's a good martini for me. I'm sure some listeners out there will say, no, this is bad news, and too many people are selling out and being squishes on this. The only thing I'd say is when you saw that scene, Alan West said, I'm ready to drive the car. So you tell Alan West that he's a squish.
Well,
let's see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm still mixed at best. I guess from a movie perspective, I would have preferred the slow clap from Hoosiers right before the championship game rather than encouraging other people to engage in crime in a figurative way. But in terms of what Boehner's trying to do here, while I'm not nuts about the plan, and especially not nuts about this commission, because I always feel like one Republican can be picked off and made to support tax increases, at least it shows the Democrats how hard he's got to fight just to get this across. And literally, this is as far as we can humanly go, even if this can get passed. ultimately, I think this fight's going to be over the length of the debt ceiling extension. So it could be that Boehner does give Obama past the election day, but then just piles on the spending cuts. I hope that's the way it goes, rather than a weaker way out. So we'll find out. But on to martini number two. And while we are celebrating to some extent the party coming back together, there were some pretty vicious barbs thrown over the past 48 hours, including some who accused the conservatives who are still not on board with the Boehner plan of being hobbits. And Jim, I know you took great personal offense at this in The Jolt, quoting a bunch of people who pointed out that the hobbits were the good guys, don't forget.
They're the good guys, and they won.
They won. So I'm not sure that analogy is the best.
Now, it's worth noting, this came out with a Wall Street Journal's editorial yesterday.
Right.
And one of my things was, look, you know, when you've got Jim DeMint on one side and Alan West on the other, you know, Jim Pethikakis saying this is probably the best. I mean, there are a bunch of conservatives on both sides of this issue. So I look at this and I can't really say one side is a bunch of rhino squishes and is selling out conservatism, or the other side is being, I don't think of Jim DeMint as being a crazy, unreasonable hardliner. And oh, by the way, he's got Lindsey Graham right next to him. I mean, there's some very strange alliances and coalitions that coming, you know, coming to the fore in this. So to see the Wall Street Journal come out and say, you know, the scenario they're saying of the folks who didn't like the Boehner plan is they basically believe that things will get better once they refuse to put a better deal on the table. And the closing of their metaphor was, and then the hobbits will return to Middle Earth having saved the, you know, having saved their land from Mordor. And, you know, Tolkien fans are probably chuckling at it. Eric Erickson at Red State and a whole bunch of other folks did not like being called hobbits, and it didn't help things when John McCain read the editorial aloud on the floor of the Senate with, you know, a certain amount of relish. So having said that, Eric Erickson then replied the response of the American general in World War II, nuts, when asked for their surrender, thus making the other side Nazis demanding surrender in this. So we can be a hobbit or a Nazi in this. I'm just glad everyone's taking my be cool advice, Greg. I'm glad my call for calmer heads to prevail and respectful tone throughout the debate really has shaken things up, and I'm glad everyone listened to me.
Yeah,
that shows you the power of the you know, Morning Jolt newsletter to affect Republican attitudes.
Exactly. Nazis and hobbits, and that's before we even get back to describing the Democratic tactics in this debate. So, you know, it's been an eventful week. Anyway, on to other events of the week, and on to our third martini and the crazy martini. And as you well know, Rick Perry is seriously considering running for president. Chris Christie keeps being asked to run for president. He keeps saying no and has basically said, I'm not ready, which means if he did run, that would probably come back at some point during his campaign. But nonetheless, Jim, it just seems weird to me this year, and I'm guessing it might to you as well, just how publicly these major donors in Iowa and in Texas seem to be just right out there saying, we hate the current crop of candidates and we really, really want you to run. And so we're basically issuing press releases to let people know that we're coming to your state in order to plead for you to run. It just seems like this behind the scenes type of finesse seems to have lost something over the last cycle or two, that this is happening right out in the open.
Somehow this process has turned into the most elaborate and high profile courtship since like the Bachelor TV show or something. It's, you know, and I suppose this sort of thing always went on. There always were influential and big money guys who were looking for somebody who they saw as a great prospective president.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I do recall in, I want to say, right after the 98 election, in the midterm elections, they used to joke they had to add an extra plane for the number of folks from D.C. flying down to Austin to meet with George W. Bush, and one part encourage him to run, one part interview him and feel out his views, one part to brief him on their policy specialties, and one part probably to pitch themselves for future administration positions if he ended up becoming president. So it's always been going on, but it always seems like it was more behind closed doors and quieter and hush-hush in the past. I don't know if it's just a sign of we are a more open political process now with everything being up on the internet and this sort of thing, and more in-depth, you know, 24/7 coverage, or whether it's just a sign that people who, you know, if you're a really big Rick Perry fan, you don't want to be quiet about it. If you're a really big Chris Christie fan, it's not enough to go and say, hey, I think you're swell. You feel like you want to get that message, I think he's swell and he should be president, to as many other folks as possible, trying to kickstart some sort of grassroots movement. And it sort of seems to be happening for Perry. I think Christie has a lot of fans, but I think he's, you know, his statements have been pretty vivid. I still go back to the suicide threat that,
right.
You know, that He said if he'd kill himself, if he killed himself, that wouldn't put an end to the speculation. And, you know, there are a lot of fine candidates out there, Greg, but the idea of Zombie Christie strikes me as really, really exciting prospect. So maybe it's a reflection of the time, or maybe it's just a fact that people think, you know, there are teeming millions out there who think just like me. And if I put this message out, everybody will get in line and the campaign will come together by itself.
And absolutely true, I think, is the fact that despite whether they have any intention of running or not, these guys love it. They love the attention. They love being touted and built up. And even if it's not this cycle, it'll kickstart their imagination for the next cycle. So we'll see what happens here. It certainly would seem that Perry's getting in sooner rather than later. Christie probably not. And who knows still about Palin? I would guess not on her as well. So we'll find out. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Please join us on Friday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.